Hello, and welcome back to the Polymath Podcast with Miss Nisha. This is Season 2, Episode 1. Yes, guys, we are already in Season 2, and I am so very grateful for this journey thus far, right? The topic that we'll be looking at this week is called Do Not Expect Them to Understand. Again, do not expect them to understand. And I want to read from Genesis 37, verse 5. From the King James Version, it says, "And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it to his brethren, and they hated him yet the more." Understanding who you are and what you carry is paramount to preserving greatness and stewarding purpose. However, expecting everyone to understand who you are and what you carry is a recipe for disaster. The truth is, everyone is at a different level of growth and maturity in their lives, whether it is in their Christian lives or outside of Christendom. One of the mistakes that we normally make is to think that everyone knows what we carry and is excited to see it come to fruition. Most of the people around us either don't understand our vision, they don't think we can accomplish such a vision, or they don't have a vision for themselves to begin with. So it's highly unlikely that they will even be able to envision or even support your vision, right? Since God is the one who gave you the vision, it is important that you ask Him to connect you with like-minded visionaries. And just going back to Genesis 37 and verse 5, where Joseph was called to be a great leader, right? We know that. But his brothers did not understand it. You know, I believe Joseph himself did not even understand the magnitude of greatness that he had within him in the initial moment. It was this greatness that caused all the problems that Joseph later encountered. What Joseph knew, though, was that he was different. He did not like the same things that others liked, and he was not driven by what drove other people. He knew his dreams were strangely deep, and they resonated with his spirit. And Joseph also knew that his father loved him very much, and that was very clear from scripture. What Joseph did not know was that the sparse feeling of greatness he initially sensed was far greater than the literal meaning of seeing someone bowing down to him. The greatness on his life positioned him as a government overseer for a whole entire nation. Though he was thrown into a pit, it was the perfect position for him to be sold into his purpose. Yes, Joseph was sold into purpose. What started out as betrayal became his transition into the palace. So Joseph's brothers could only see their action as an opportunity to get rid of him because, hey, who is this Joseph? They were jealous of him. It was very clear from scripture that they were jealous of him, because his dad loved him very much. And on top of that, Joseph was getting dreams and was telling them what he was dreaming about. And they were older than him, and they could not come to terms with the fact that their little brother was going to be ahead of them. So they didn't like him. But what his brothers did not understand was that, you know, throwing Joseph into the pit was not just an opportunity for them to get rid of him, but God saw it as the channel that would transport Joseph to where he needed to be. The resentment of his brothers against him served a purpose. Remember, with God, nothing is wasted, especially if you are a child of God. Romans 8, 28, it says, all things, good, bad, in between, all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord and to those who are the called according to his purpose. And for this reason, we should not always count a negative situation as doom and gloom, because it could be the very method God uses to position us into our purposes. Like Joseph, I too had my fair share of family ordeals to deal with, you know, and will not come on and tell you that I forgave them immediately. Actually, it took me well over 2 years to bear the hatchet and come to a place where I could speak about the event without feeling a tension against them. And that's one of the measuring sticks that we can use to know if we have forgiven someone. The real test comes when you have to recount what the person did. You're talking about the event, you're recounting the event, and you feel tension and you just have this newfound anger coming back to you. It means that it's not healed. obviously it's not healed, because if it's healed, there would not be any pain. There would not be any tension. Those are emotions that should not be present in a healed person, in a person who have forgiven. Forgiveness is not equal to forgetting, right? Not that you're going to hold it to the forefront of your mind and you're going to hold it against them, but you may not forget it. But when you're recounting it, there should not be any tension. There should not be any emotion of anger, because those are symptoms that this thing is not healed. This thing has not been forgiven. So it took me over 2 years, and this is my personal testimony, to really bear the hatchet and come to a place where I could speak about the same event, you know, the dilemma, the ordeal that happened, without feeling tension against them. And it's not easy. Many times we speak of forgiveness and people on the other end who are in a place where they are struggling to forgive somebody because of the magnitude of what they did to them, you know, they may feel as though if you speak about forgiveness as just something that's easy, then people on the other end who are struggling to forgive may just well feel like something is wrong with them, and they may just give up trying to forgive. Forgiveness for everyone may take different time. It may take a different period of time. For you, it may take you 2 days because it's a minor thing, right? It was just an offense, right? Or whatever it is. For some other people, it may take a week or 3 weeks or 4 weeks or a month, or it may take a year. For some of us, it may take 2 years, depending on the magnitude. For some people, the magnitude doesn't matter because they're mature. Everyone is at a different maturity level in their Christian life. Not everyone is at the same level. If a person is struggling with forgiveness, it's not for you to put them down. The fact that you were able to overcome and you're able to forgive, it means that it's possible for them as well. One of the things that we must understand is that we can be the hindrance to our own progress, right? And one of the ways that we do so is to harbor unforgiveness in our hearts. Yes, I just spoke that it takes everyone a different length of time to forgive, but that does not negate the fact that you can be a hindrance to your own progress by, you know, not opening up yourself. Because forgiveness is not something that is endowed upon you. It is not something that the preacher can hold you and pray into you, right? They can break up the spirit of unforgiveness from you, right? But forgiveness takes deliberate actions. It takes you opening up your heart and saying, I am going to do this. It may be painful. It may make me look as if I'm stupid for forgiving this person, but it is not about them. It is about you. One of the ways I realized this was when I weighed the burden of unforgiveness and the weight of my purpose. I had to make a decision to relieve myself of unforgiveness. This is because the weight of the glory on my life is far more valuable than carrying a burden I was never meant to carry in the first place. Sometimes we carry things that we were never meant to carry. Why am I carrying around unforgiveness when I can leave it at the feet of Jesus, right? And also open up my heart for him to do the work in me. You know, I'm not going to leave it at his feet and close off my heart and expect him to supernaturally open my heart. God is not going to violate my will. So I have to work alongside with him. I have to partner with him. Examine your life to see if there's anything that could possibly hold you back from becoming all that God has called you to be. Holding on will hold you down, but letting go will let you grow. Let me say that one more time. Holding on will hold you down, but letting go will let you grow. Holding on to forgiveness will eventually hold you down from progressing, from elevating, from going higher. But when you let go, that act of letting go will cause you to grow, right? Like a plant, you're spreading your wings and you're growing because you have let go. You will soar, you will elevate, and you will rise when you let go and let God. Today, you should make a concerted effort to let go of anything that could stand in the way of your next level in God. Had Joseph not forgiven his brothers, he would not have been able to serve them the way that he did. And yes, we see in the scripture that he broke down and he cried when he saw them. His tears were not tears of pain and anguish. Rather, his tears were a sum of all of his emotions. And you see here in Genesis 43 and verse 30, it says, "And Joseph made haste, for his bowels did yearn upon his brother, And he sought where to weep, and he entered into his chamber and wept there. Joseph felt so much joy from seeing them again. He was even more relieved to learn that his father was still alive. The love he had for his brothers did not lessen over the years. Instead, his love for them grew stronger. Their absence from Joseph's life certainly made his heart grow fonder towards them. This is a lesson that God is capable of changing the condition of our heart towards those who may have wronged us. He will remove negative emotions from us and give us positive ones when we submit them all to him. And that's where we'll wrap it up today, guys. If you're just tuning in, this is season 2, episode 1 of the Polymath podcast. And feel free to like, share with your family and your friends. Get them to like the podcast and listen in. We will pick back up next week. Again, this is the Polymath podcast with me, Michelle. I'll see you on the other side.